SingerWines.com.
This is Focus 580, our morning talk program. My name's David Inch. Glad to have you with us. The producers for the show, Harriet Williamson, I'm Martha Deal, and Jason Croft is at the controls this morning. And we are very pleased here in this part of the show to spend some time talking about books for young readers. We like books on the show. We like books and writers, and we don't hesitate to recommend reading no matter what the age. We often have people on the show to talk about books for grown-ups, but we don't want to neglect the kids. And this is, after all, a time of the year when sometimes people like to exchange gifts, and we also like to say books make wonderful gifts. It can be, however, sometimes a little confusing, I think, for parents to pick good books for their kids. And there has been, and I'm not sure how long it's been going on now, but for at least 10, 15, 20 years, children's literature, that area has just exploded. There's an enormous amount of new things all the time. Mm-hmm. And they're not all great. There are many good books, but not all of them great ones. And librarians and people who are interested in children's literature spend a lot of time looking at a lot of books, trying to find the ones that they think are the best. And we have three of them with us here this morning, and they're all from the Champaign Public Library. Janice Harrington is the head of children's services. Stephanie Edwards is a children's librarian. And Betsy Sue specializes in reading for the young adult or teens or whatever. I don't know. What's the official name for that? Do you actually say teen readers?
I do say teen readers, but I don't think many teens call themselves young adults, but that's the library lingo. But whatever, teens, young adults.
Yeah. And I think it seems to, I was talking about how there has been a big boom in children's literature going on for a while now, but it seems to me that for that age category, for this, whatever this nebulous young adult reader is, that there's also been a real growth there. A lot of really good books, really good writing, for readers that might be, I don't know what that would be, 11, 12, 13, 14, you know, in that sort of middle school, maybe beginning high school range, a lot of good material.
I think that's absolutely true. There are wonderful books that are written just especially for the middle schooler and on into the high schooler that you just, there's a wealth of choices that you have to pick from.
All right. Well, thank you all very much for being here. We appreciate it. And I also want to tell people who are listening that when we do these programs, we do also invite people who are listening to call if they have a book to recommend, something that's perhaps been a big hit with their kids. You can call in and recommend the title. Also, apparently there is, we want to mention that on the library website,
yes,
you have suggested books there.
Right. If you're looking for holiday suggestions, go to www.champaign.org. You'll find a list of books there that the Champaign Public Library children's librarians have suggested of good reading books. And we're going to actually be talking about some of those this morning, right, Stephanie?
That's exactly right.
Right. So we'll let you know. But you can either go to the web or feel free to come by to the library or just give us a call.
Okay, good. And I think what we're going to try to do is on our website, I don't know if we can or we will make, we will make a link on our website.
Excellent.
So if people want to do it that way, they can, or they can go right to your website
and
get that. Okay, very good. Do you want to, someone just want to start?
Sure,
you want Janice to start?
Absolutely. I'm going to start with the youngest of the young, the babies. So you're a grandparent or a new mother and you're looking for a perfect board book. I have to recommend the David series, the No David books. My preschoolers absolutely love No David. Well, now those books are available as board books. So here's Oh David, and it opens up with David's mommy always said, Oh David, and you see David has just unrolled an entire roll of toilet paper. And it goes through the complete experience of being a baby in America, but it's just lots of fun. And I love the opening shot where there's poor little David with a full diaper and the words PU. So, the great board books. A wonderful twist on the classic folktale. Instead of the three little pigs, we have the three little rigs. And the three little rigs, their mother, the big rig, sends them out into the world. And, of course, instead of encountering a big bad wolf, they meet a big bad wrecking ball. So, that it's children will really love listening to that many, many times. And I'll just throw one more and throw it over to Stephanie. But on my list that I'm going to make sure that my young nieces and nephews receives is a gorgeous book. This, you have to find a copy of this book and look at the pictures because they're so beautiful. It's called He's Got the Whole World in His Hand. It's illustrated by Kadir Nelson. stunning, stunning pictures. It takes the spiritual, he's got the whole world in his hands, and it goes through a day with a family. The picture of the little boy who's standing in the rain with the rain falling on his face is just wonderful. And the opening pages of this book is something that, you know, an adult will see, a child won't, but it says he's got the whole world in his hands. And on this double page spread, what you see is the New York skyline post 9/11. But this is a beautiful, 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 beautiful book. Love it, love it, love it, love it. Yeah. And how do dinosaurs eat their food? Preschoolers love dinosaurs, and this series is marvelous. You cannot fail. They will love you. They'll put you in the will. So how do dinosaurs eat their food? And this is by Jane Yolen and Mark Teague. Stephanie, I know you had some great ones for young ones.
I do. I've got one for infants, particularly one called Love That Baby by Susan Milford. And it's a really nice lift-a-flap book, beginning with Baby is Napping, and then flipping it open and saying, Wake That Baby. So it's a really fun board book for younger children. Some picture books that I've really enjoyed this year. One is called That New Animal by Emily Jenkins. And it's it looks at getting a new baby in the family, but it's from the perspective of the two dogs, Fudge Fudge and Marshmallow. And they're not very happy about this new animal in their home. But by the end of the book, of course, they're licking the baby and they're deciding that they like it just a little bit, when in the midst of the book, they're thinking about eating it and even biting it. So it's a very fun book, especially for maybe children that are just getting a new baby brother or sister at home. Another one that's been very popular is If You Give a Pig a Party. And this is one of the Laura Numeroff books. She did the If You Give a Mouse a Cookie and the Moose a Muffin. Mm-hmm. So this is a new one this year. And so it's a very cute one. Another one that I really like this year is by Helen Oxenbury, and she's been around for years and written some great books. And this one's called Pigtail. And it's about two pigs, Brig and his wife, Bertha, and they're living in the farmyard, and they decide they're pretty bored with that, and they happen to dig up a treasure chest and are able to buy everything their little piggy hearts desire. And but by the end, as we all know, cars break down and everything can go wrong at home, and they end up back in the barnyard again. So those are some that I've really enjoyed this year.
And I also want to say, you can never fail if you just get a solid Mother Goose rhyme book, especially for babies. Mm-hmm. And my favorite, top of the list, is still Rosemary Wells. Gorgeous illustrations. She's got my very first Mother Goose, and there's also a follow-up. Big, vibrant colors. You can't fail. Also, there's been recently, well, I think it came out last year, but it's a great gift for somebody. It's called The Neighborhood Mother Goose. And this is an update of the Mother Goose rhymes showing contemporary children. And I really like that. I like the diversity in this book. It's looking good.
There's another new Mother Goose that just came out this year, too. Those of you that enjoy Mary Englebright's illustrations, there's a new Mary Englebright Mother Goose that's new, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me just say real quick here, if people, because you're going through a lot of names and titles pretty quick, we now have the link set up to your website from our website. Right. And probably the easiest thing that people can do is go to the WILO webpage and then go to the Focus 580 section and look at this week's schedule. And right under the listing for today's program, there is the link. So if you click on that, you will go right to the Champaign Library. Then are the books now that you're talking about here, are they on your list, or some of them, most of them?
Many of them are, but we'll make sure that at the end of the program we'll get all of these books on the list, so that won't be a problem.
Okay.
And you can always just call us and go, that one you said with the pig in it.
It was sort of about this.
I'm
sure you get questions like that all the time.
Oh,
so, there's this book, and it was kind of, I think it might have been blue, and the author's name was Bob, and it had the word grapefruit in the title. Do you know that book? Yes, I know you get that all the time.
Right.
Everybody's gotten a chance here to talk except Betsy. Mm-hmm. So what have you got that you'd like to recommend?
One of the ones is one that I'm in the middle of reading right now. It's a really fun fantasy. I think it would work for middle school. And so a lot of fantasy is kind of ageless. Adults and high school students as well enjoy. But this one is called Skybreaker, and it's by Kenneth Opel. His first book, if the student or the person that you're buying for hasn't read Airborne, is out in paperback. So that would be a good one, too. It's a fun adventure story with both a male and a female character. They go off on an airship. So it's set in an alternative London where airship travel is what's how people get by. So the big Zeppelins is how they go. And it's very exciting story with looking for treasure. In the first one, there are bad guys, there's treasure, there's some romance. So it's almost got it all, everything. Airborne and Skybreaker by Kenneth Opel. And I'm just in the middle of Skybreaker right now. That's a real good one. I don't know if it's because I love fantasy, but fantasy seems to rise to the list of some of my favorite books. And another series, when I asked my daughter, well, what would you recommend? I'm going on this program. What would you recommend? And then immediately she came up with The Amulet of Samarkand, which is the first book in a Jonathan Stroud series. And he's also written the second one's called The Golem's Eye. And this one features a young magician's apprentice named Nathaniel. And everyone's favorite character in the book is the genie, Bartimaeus. And he's a very funny character. And this, again, is a good adventure where they're trying to save London from the bad wizard is coming. And so it's got almost everything that you want a book to have in the action and the characters, and the genie provides a lot of humor. So that was one. And there's the third book is coming out January 1st. So that's something to look for. If you have someone who doesn't like fantasy a lot, there are other choices. The Penderwicks. I don't know if you all have read The Penderwicks by Jean Birdsall. That one just won the National Book Award. And when I was reading about this particular book, it says it's a throwback to the books that maybe parents like to read when they were younger. It's the mother has passed away. It's the four sisters and their dog Hound, and they go on the summer vacation to... they don't have a lot of money, of course, so they're on a summer vacation in this cottage off, and they have adventures. There's a rich kind of mean lady who owns the property that they're staying on, and so the four daughters have all sorts of adventures while they're staying in the summer with the dog and get into scrapes, and it has a real old-fashioned feel to it. And I really enjoyed that. My daughter read it and liked it as well. So that might be one, The Penderwicks by Jean Birdsall. It would be a good one.
Okay. I think it's interesting that now there is this series of books about this boy wizard that seems to be very popular.
Yeah, what is that?
I forget. But and maybe there are some people who have some problem with kids being consumed with that. But it strikes me that I'm sure I would have been reading those books when I was a kid.
Absolutely.
and that I read stuff like that. So I'm not sure that that's really so different from the kind of stories that kids have always liked to read, fantasy, adventure kind of things. Mm-hmm. And if you have children that somehow have more than usual powers, well, that's good, because when you're a kid, you don't think you have much power at all. And if there's anything you're going to be attracted to, it's a child that is... that's going out there and doing things and doing important things. Mm-hmm. And even though you're small, you know, you can have some influence on the world. Kids always like to have stories like that.
A good book is a book that a child will read, bottom line. And if you like fantasy, I think if you're a Harry Potter fan, you know, you're now in limbo because you've got to wait for the next book. But a lot of our kids are turning to Charlie Bone, the other fantastic fantasy writers like Poulsen, or you always go to Tolkien, or Tamara Pierce is another very strong fantasy writer for girls. And I think Stephanie had some fantasy that she'll be telling us about. But speaking of fantasy, I want to just throw out, if you know, fantasy lovers, they love dragons and wizards, and they'll be very pleased to know that Dragonology has been followed by Wizardology, and just recently there's come out Fairyopolis. This is a series of books just rich in wonderful details so that you can learn everything you ever wanted to know about dragons or wizards or fairies. And these are books where you can lift the flaps. They've got hidden little secrets, hidden little pockets. There's all sorts of interesting corners. So another place for fantasy lovers to go. And not just high fantasy. Many of you may have been fans of The Tale of Despereaux. You'll be very pleased to know that Kate DiCamillo has a new book out, also a fantasy of sorts. It's called Mercy Watson to the Rescue. And Mercy is a pig. I love this one scene where Mercy's owners, they're in a bed, the bed collapses, it's falling through the the ceiling of this house. And so her owners are thinking, oh, look, Mercy's running off. She's going to get help for us. Well, Mercy's running down to the kitchen to get more pancakes. So I like that sort of fantasy. What about you guys?
Some of the good ones I've read this year, one is actually more of probably a middle school young adult book, Peter and the Star Catchers. And that's by Dave Barry and Ridley Pearson. Some of you are probably very familiar with Dave Barry.
That's the columnist,
exactly.
The humor columnist, David Barry.
Exactly. And so he's teamed up with Ridley Pearson, who's also an author, and they've written this book. And it's a prequel to Peter Pan. And so it sets up the whole scene as to how Peter Pan arrives in Neverland and how mermaids come to be and who Captain Hook was before he was really Captain Hook. And and it's a really great book, a lot of fun, a lot of adventure. Pirate stories are always fun for kids. Some others that have been really popular in our library are the Dragons of Del Torre series or the Dragon Quests or Del Torre Quest books by Emily Rada. Those are probably more for a little bit younger kids, maybe third, fourth, fifth graders. Those have been just extremely popular. And, of course, The Chronicles of Narnia, mm-hmm. another classic mm-hmm. that's been around, you know, for years and years. And now with the new movie being released this month, those have just flown out of our library.
We're seeing a lot of books that are generating interest because of the movies.
Exactly.
Narnia. And mm-hmm. I think I'm hearing that Charlotte's Web is going to come out as a movie.
A year from now, Charlotte's Web, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory,
we saw
a huge influx of kids wanting that book.
You said Lemony Snicket?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Oh, mm-hmm. Definitely very hot with kids. You can't fail with the mm-hmm. Lemony Snicket books and the series of unfortunate events.
So after that movie came out, did more people then want to go and read Lemony Snicket?
Oh, yes.
I would have thought that people would have, the Lemony Snicket audience would have known all about Lemony Snicket beforehand.
What I find compelling is that, you know, the first wave are the kids who are really interested, and they drag their adults with them. So then the parent comes in and gets captivated by a Harry Potter or by a Lemony Snicket, and they start reading it too. And that's just really great. And speaking of other things that kids are dragging their parents into the library for, magazines. We sometimes forget that in addition to books, magazines can be really incredible gifts for kids during the holiday season. What I like about them is they're the gift that keeps giving. You know, every month they're going to have to think about you. So on my list of things to wonderful magazines for kids, for the preschoolers, of course, we're talking Baby Bug, hands down the best. Ladybug, Preschool Playroom is a lot of fun for kids. Your Big Backyard, if you have someone who really loves the information and the real world and learning about things. And we cannot keep enough copies of this on the shelf, but Disney Princess Magazine, as well as American Girls and many others.
Now, is that really do we really want girls reading Disney Princess Magazine?
I am just bringing out the point that we cannot keep it on library shelves. I am not making any judgments. If I were making a judgment, I would be recommending Footsteps, which is an African-American history magazine for kids. And again, the particular one that each one covers a different theme, so it might be black artists, it might be black leaders. But again, a very nice gift to give if you're a grandparent. It's called Footsteps, African American Heritage Magazine.
And this is one of these things where particularly it can help to go down to the library and maybe talk with
Absolutely.
Somebody there.
Absolutely.
Because there are a lot of good magazines mm-hmm. for children, but mm-hmm. it's the kind of thing that adults probably don't encounter, don't even know mm-hmm. about. It wouldn't even occur to you.
Right.
And that librarians know about them and teachers probably know about them, but
right.
probably a lot of parents
yeah.
haven't seen them. So
right.
if that's the kind of thing you think you might be interested in, and they're directed to all kinds of special interests,
oh, it's
you know,
amazing.
Go There's, down and check mm-hmm. out, see what they have at the library and mm-hmm. talk about it with the librarians there. And
right.
and if you have a child who's interested in, I don't know what, interested in natural history or American history
right.
or sports or some kind of art activity, or I'm sure that there's something for almost any particular focused interest.
That's what's great about now. Truly, whatever you're interested in, if you're a child, you can find a book about it. What's really hot, believe it or not, is knitting. And so the book, The Teen Knitting Club, could be a wonderful gift to give to somebody. There's marvelous nonfiction such as Badger at Sandy Ridge Road for those kids who want to learn more about the world around them. And this has marvelous pictures. The cover alone is delicious. It's the only word you could use to describe that one. And I think maybe some nonfiction. Stephanie might have some. She might be talking about later. Many fans of Shel Silverstein. Do you remember him?
Mm. Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, uh-huh. yeah. Do you know he has a new book, Runny Babbitt?
I did not know that.
I think this would be posthumous. Is that the word?
Well, I was thinking that Shell had passed.
I don't know how they do this.
He could have had a new book.
I don't know how this is done in the publishing world, but he has a new book, and it's called Runny Babbitt, and the kids are running to get it. And it is filled with, I think they're called spoonerisms. Is that where you say things backwards?
Yeah, I guess so.
Runny had a bath. Bake Taff before they sieve him gupper. He got so tungry in the hub, he ate the rat of mubber. He chewed his dubber rucky up. He gulped bulp subbles too. But what upset his mama most was shrinking the damn poo.
You're going to have to practice.
So, kids,
I know, I couldn't do it.
You know, he just has so many fans, and they'll be very happy to know that a new book is out there.
We're getting close to the midpoint. Let me reintroduce the guests. And also, I think I've had a couple of callers here, and I don't know if I kept them waiting or what the deal was. Okay, maybe I kept them waiting too long. I promise if you want to call in and get in the show, I will not make you wait. But I should introduce again our three guests, Janice Harrington, Betsy Sue, Stephanie Edwards. Janice is head of children's services at the Champaign Public Library. Betsy is the teen librarian, and Stephanie is a children's librarian. And we asked them if they could come over and spend a little time this morning talking with us about good books, new things for children of a wide age range. And they have suggested some titles here. And they have gone through a lot of stuff here pretty quick. So, again, our suggestions are, one, if you're looking for suggestions on books, go to the library and talk with the librarians. The other thing that you can do is go to the website of the public library, and we now have a link from our website. So go to Focus 580, go to the schedule for this week. There's a link there that you can click on, and then you'll get right to Champaign. And there, here, for example, we have a whole page full of gift book ideas for the holidays, and there's the title, there's the publisher, there's the price, there's the age, the sort of suggested age range, so, and a little description. So that should give you something to think about when you're looking for books as
Great.
Gifts. Who has hardly not said anything here? Betsy. I'm going to drag you into this program.
Oh, no problem.
Whether you like it or not.
No problem. I was thinking a lot of teenagers like to read kind of unusual books, and one of the ones that I've really enjoyed, and I think most of the students I've talked to have enjoyed, is called The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime by Mark Haddon. And that is a book written first person from an autistic narrator. He's a 15-year-old named Christopher Bone, and his neighbor's dog has been murdered. And Christopher lives with his father, and his mother has died, and he is... Sherlock Holmes is one of his favorite characters, so he decides that he will find out who murdered the neighbor's dog. And that has lots of repercussions for Christopher and his family. And it's a very interesting book in the way that it's written, with drawings. And Christopher is very fond of numbers and colors. And I think that most of us like it because it's a different way of looking at the world. And it's a very interesting book. It's A Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
And, you know, that was a book that was it was very well reviewed. I think that it's sold, for a novel, I think it sold quite well. And I read it, and I thought that it was very good. It was something that I wouldn't think about as being a book necessarily for a non-adult, but I'm sure high school kids could read it, and younger kids could read it. I'm sure parents get some sense what level their kids are, but it really would be a great book because it does. The idea is that it tries to give you what it's like to be a person with autism, a completely different way of encountering the world and looking at the world and thinking that you would not otherwise get, you know, sort of seeing it what the world looks like through his eyes.
That's true. It was actually published in, I think, England as a young adult book. So it was only in the United States that they published it as an adult. Again, I'm not sure why. Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, we were talking about movies. Liked the movie. I think a lot of probably girls. I'm not sure a lot of boys read The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, but this year saw Girls in Pants, the third summer of the sisterhood. They're very nice books. They get into the four girls who are friends, and they each have different things that happen to them when they're separated over the summer, and they're connected by these magical pants that fit each one of them, even though the girls are all different sizes. But I really think that most most people enjoy reading the books, following the friendships and the different things, problems that the girls encounter and how they deal with them. If you've got some science fiction fans, I guess I'll pull out two ones you can't go wrong with, Ender's Game and Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Students still, Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card is still a perennial favorite. A young man named Ender is raised in a world where aliens have come and almost totally destroyed Earth twice. So the society is very much focused. Janice is looking at me. Christmas, Betsy, holiday book, fun book.
Alien destruction. But, I like that at holiday time.
Right. I guess maybe that's something to think about, too. But Ender's Game really is popular, where Ender is raised in a world where they're pretty much, from birth on, they're trained to hone certain skills that they have to help the Earth survive. And Ender is particularly good at these games and ends up being someone who's counted on. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, that was a movie this year. Very, very funny science fiction. Very funny. Again, Earth is destroyed in this one.
Yeah, but anybody who's done their Christmas shopping out on North Prospect could appreciate
they
world
would
destruction.
Appreciate.
And I'm sure there are many families where there are times that the kids wish that they were kidnapped by aliens sometime during the holidays.
Yeah.
It would be very good. I tell you what, we have a caller, and I want to get this person in because I think I made some other folks wait too long. So why don't we do that? Let's talk with a caller in Bloomington, Illinois, line 4, right there. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a recommendation and a question. The recommendation is Richard Peck's two books, A Long Way from Chicago and A Year Down Yonder.
Mm-hmm.
They're hysterically
books.
Funny.
Absolutely.
And the eccentric grandma is just a hoot.
Mm-hmm.
They're also set in central Illinois, which is fun for kids because they can identify with the setting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always fun for kids and adults. My question is, what do you think about... I know you said you never make judgments, and anything that gets a kid to read is a good thing. But what do you think about the...
Is this where you make me pay for saying that?
Yeah.
I didn't really mean it. I was just trying to get out of a tough situation. Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry. What was it that you were asking about?
The Dave Pilkey series, the Captain Underwear.
Oh, yeah?
Series.
Uh-huh.
And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right.
So what do you want to know about the Dave Pilkey, though? What I thought of it?
What do you think about those books?
I am proud to say that as a children's librarian, I will read anything. And I have read those books, and I laugh just like kids laugh. Do they have things in them that make adults pull their hair out? Absolutely. This is the book that has the word booger, and I say that in quotation marks. But that's why kids respond to them, because they're these outrageous situations. And I think what we can maybe feel a little comfortable about as adults is that children go through these reading stages. There is a stage where they're going to be reading a lot of series. You rip your hair out, you want them to read something else, but that is just part of being a reader, that you have these stages that you work your way through. So what we need to know is they will not read Captain Underpants for their whole entire lives. They are going to go on to other things. And so when kids come in and they want Captain Underpants, or they want to read the Bionic Booger Boy, which I think is one of the ones in that series, I honor the child's request. Because, I'm not their parent. I let them have what they want. And then I talk to them about some things that I enjoy. Hey, you know, what about the Watsons Go to Birmingham 1963? Or it's just like with my own nephews and nieces for this Christmas, I'm going to be giving them things for their own good, such as Rosa by Nikki Giovanni, which is talking about the civil rights movement and Rosa Parks' role in it. Or I try to soften it a little bit. So, you know, I'll also give them Thunder Rose by Catter Nelson, which glorious pictures. You have this tall tale about this young black girl who carries a barbed wire pole on her shoulder and wrestles steer and lightning. So I am so pleased that a child reads, wants to read, and I will do anything to encourage that. And so it's okay. I'm on record now. I said that
Captain Underpants
was okay.
And it's okay if you have some child who becomes consumed with one particular writer, and all they want to do is read everything that person has.
That is what a reader does. That is the sign of a strong reader. That is a sign of a healthy reader. So you go ahead and let them plow that ground that they're very interested in. Go with their interest, and throw them some other fodder now and then. Try to direct them to other things. Kids will get buried down in fiction, so give them some great nonfiction. They need to discover that they're Stephanie was mentioning the Shackleton. You were talking about the Shackleton. Help me out here.
Endurance.
Endurance. That great book about the where did it happen?
Antarctica,
right? Where that ship sinks and all those people have to. So there's wonderful stuff out there. When I'm not stuttering, I can tell you about some of them.
Well, I guess that's what we were talking about, how there are now so many good books for children, and often we think about fiction, but there is also a lot of really good nonfiction, history, biography, books about science, books about nature.
Right.
Again, and I think, as you said before, sometimes parents maybe feel a little frustrated because they wish their children were reading more, and sometimes the key is, well, you've got to find the right book, and it's got to be about the thing. If you find the thing that they want to read about, then you've got it made.
And there's going to be a good book. And let them see you reading. I mean, doing this preaching when they never see you pick up a book is just not going to work.
Yeah. How little can you start, or would you suggest you start with kids? And with, for example, like the board books that we've talked about, the ones that they can chew on if they want to.
I was going
to
say, what do you notice about that book? You can eat it. So you can start reading to your child right away.
So just, and I was talking about that a little bit with our pediatrician who was on the hour before, even if they don't quite get what it's about, you'd say, okay, get them and put them in your lap and sit there and sit with the book and, you know, turn the pages and talk to them, and that they'll sort of get the idea that what they may not completely know what it's about, but they'll sort of get the idea.
Right. You are preparing them to become readers. You're making reading pleasurable. You're making it warm, cuddling, and loving. They're hearing the sound of your voice, which, you know, is going to be the first poem that a child hears, the first first music that they hear. A picture book is a child's first Broadway theater. You're just laying the ground. You don't need to start pulling out War and Peace when you've got a little baby. These chewable books are the way to go. And if your baby grabs it and doesn't seem to be listening to you, don't panic. Yes, that's normal behavior. Eventually, though, they're going to sit there. And they're going to give you those big wide eyes, and you're just going to keep reading to them.
Okay. Let's talk with somebody in Urbana on our line number one. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I wanted to recommend a book by Anna Dudney. I think it was new this year, called Llama Llama Red Pajama. I'm probably, some of the people on the show are familiar with it. It's just a really delightful pictures, and the story is really sweet. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would enjoy it.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of nodding around the table.
Yeah.
You know this book?
I've seen the cover of it. I don't think I've read that one yet. But the cover itself is very
It's really
cute.
Engaging.
Yeah.
She's based in Vermont. And then the other one I wanted to recommend, I have a feeling Janice might not recommend her own book, but Going North is really a special book. And I've already given it as a present to a few people, and
excellent.
I wanted to mention that one.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Also, speaking of homegirls who do well, we do also want to mention that Janice Del Negro, who used to live here in Champaign, has just come out with a new book. It's called Willa and the Wind. And this is the old folktale where the girl has a pot of cornmeal. The north wind blows it away. She goes to see the north wind, demanding to get that cornmeal back. It has lovely pictures. And, of course, it starts off this great adventure with an evil innkeeper and Willa.
It strikes me that the books now, the level of art in children's books now is better than this is not exactly recent, but again, thinking back to the books of my childhood, I don't think that there was anything just as beautiful as this.
Well, I think something interesting to ask Betsy about are how phenomenally popular anime and the graphic novels are now. And I know that at Champaign we have this huge graphic novel collection, which is, you know, pictures and books for older kids.
That's
right?
What we used to call comic books.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, they've gone past that, right, Betsy?
Right. Manga is extremely big, especially with the Edison After School crowd. We have this, when you go to the bookstore, again, if you are not familiar with the Japanese graphic novels, you might want to ask someone there for help. There are magazines, Shonen Jump or Anime Insider. That might be a good option if you want a stocking stuffer. You could buy a manga magazine for one of the students. The anime is the animation, the Japanese animation, and the graphic novels are manga. And it's hard
incredibly
to know where
popular.
to start. You'd almost need to talk to the student, but Inuyasha, Dragon Ball Z, There are lots and lots. And again, as you had said, David, the artwork is very much a part of the story. And I think we were talking in the car on the way over, you know, why are these so appealing? Well, the students grew up in this multimedia world where there's mm-hmm. pictures
very visual,
and
right.
very visual. Mm-hmm. And I think that satisfies maybe for some students who perhaps didn't like reading too much. Well, now they can get this beautiful art along with it. And the story would be told to them in a different way, whereas just the text on the page might not be as appealing. These beautiful pictures with the dialogue boxes are something that they do really like.
And it's not just the illustrations, but fantastic photography that you're finding in kids' book. One that I'm putting in somebody's stocking this Christmas is Shades of Black, A Celebration of Our Children by Sandra Pinckney, which just has spectacular, you know, images of African-American children and just saying very positive things about being black and the shades of blackness. So I like that a lot. But it's an entire range of great quality in children's books. It's the time to buy. Wonderful presents.
Just if people are interested, particularly parents are interested in manga, I think the thing you just need to remind them is that in Japan, there is a very wide range of these things, and some of them are not suitable for children.
No.
They can be very violent. Some of them can be pornographic. So I suppose that again, that's the kind of thing that you want to take a look at them, be in tune with
Absolutely.
What it is your kids are.
Yeah,
and I'm sure that you're very sensitive to those. If you're going to acquire something for the library, you have to be very sensitive to the content of these things.
Right. They are generally have an age range on them, but that's true. There's definitely a different style, and some are for if you're looking for an older high school student, then that's going to be a different type of book that you would want to purchase than for a middle schooler, right? Absolutely.
Yeah. But there is enormous, if people have ever gone to a bookstore, they have now enormous sections mm-hmm. of these
right.
bound up in book size volumes, and sometimes many, many volumes of one particular set of characters, one particular artist. So there's mm-hmm. an awful lot of them. One could be mm-hmm. easily be consumed and not ever do anything else, probably.
As close as we come in the children's department is probably Calvin and Hobbes. That's as close as we get to the graphic novels.
Mega Man is probably one of the most popular ones we have right now that it's going out. So,
Batman and X-Men are still popular choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the superheroes, Batman. Of course, when the movie was out, the Star Wars was real hot
and it's still hot.
Kids coming in.
Yeah.
Okay. We have about 15 minutes left here. If people want to call in and ask a question or recommend something, you can certainly do that. And I want to, again, introduce our guests just real quick. Janice Harrington, Stephanie Edwards, Betsy Sue, they're all from the Champaign Public Library. And we thought, as we're coming up here to the holiday, and sometimes people do like to give gifts, we're suggesting books as gifts for kids and have a few suggestions here. You can get some of these things off of the website of the Champaign Public Library. We now have a link from our website to theirs, so it'd be easy to go there and see what they have. Or you can just go down to the library.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to the librarians. Really, it's okay. They're very happy to talk. That's what they do. That's their job.
Yeah.
They love books, and they're happy to make recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Well, some I'd like to talk about, too, are some of the popular series books that we have, some that have been around for a number of years, but they have new titles out this year. Junie B. Jones, First Grader by Barbara Park, has a new one out for Christmas called Jingle Bells, Batman Smells. And that series, there's a number of books in that series, and kids are really enjoying those. Those are kind of geared toward first and second graders. Another series that's very popular, I think they're on their 37th title in that series, is the Magic Treehouse books by Mary Pope Osborne. Season of the Sandstorms is the newest one of that. Another series that's for a little bit older children is the one by Margaret Peterson Haddix, the Shadow Children series. I've got a middle school student that really enjoys those, and that's the Among the Hidden was the first mm-hmm. book in that series. Among the Enemy is the most recent. So those are a few series that you might consider as well if you have children or grandchildren that are interested in those and would like to get those newest mm-hmm. editions.
Shall we talk with another caller here? Why don't we do that? In Urbana, line one, right here. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to echo the idea of giving magazines for kids. Baby Bug, I give routinely as a baby birth present, and I figure it takes, you can collect some ahead of time even before the kid is, you can start the subscription at birth,
right.
And then there'll be several additions for the parents to be reading to their kids once they're able to, to pay any attention. And the thing about Baby Bug is that it's part of the Cricket magazine group, and all you have to do is, all the parent has to do is call them up when the kid is ready for the next stage and just say, please change the subscription over to the next oldest one or another one in the family.
That's convenient.
And that makes it really, really flexible. I also remember my kids enjoying a science fiction series by Anne McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah.
And they're available in paperback. It's a about a it's the Dragon Drum series.
I'm Dragon not sure Singer.
Yeah.
Dragon Song. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, there's a whole series of them. And they continue on up for adults, but there's several that I initially ran into. The word dragon popped out. he picked it up. And it's about a colony that's gone out from Earth, and they landed on this planet, and it turned out that there were some really strong environmental challenges, and it destroyed the communication back with Earth. And the colony has evolved, and they've lost some of that information about where they came from, and you get hints of this colony being Earth-related, but some of the people have discovered that they can communicate with these little fire dragons or with big dragons. And so you have strong children's characters overcoming odds, which is, it's always a nice thing when kids can overcome obstacles, but yet they're not grounded in real-life problems, so it's not, you know, it goes on, and it's a fantasy world, but our kids really enjoy them, so I wanted to recommend those.
Good suggestion.
All right, very good. Thank you. This raises a question, and it's something you see discussed from time to time, and it's probably something that librarians talk about it, and particularly, I guess this applies to books for young adults, that some people think there are too many books that are too heavy into problems, you know, books for kids who have only one parent or who have some sort of terrible disability or dealing with some really, really horrible challenge. And the argument for the books is, well, you know, there are real problems in real life. And by reading a story like that, it gives you an opportunity to think about things and talk about things. And on the other hand, I think some people argue, they say, enough of this kind of book. We've had too many books like this. I'm just curious what you think about this controversy over what is sometimes called the problem book for young adult readers.
Well, I think Janice kind of said it best in that there are books for all readers. I do believe that by reading about a character who has a problem that either you have or you know someone that has, and you can kind of test out the different solutions, I think that is enormously helpful. And I think a lot of the people who have a problem with the problem novels are those of us who are older, that we've already been through all that. We don't really, you know, it becomes a little bit boring. I think that the books serve a purpose. A lot of them can be well written. A lot of them can be poorly written. It depends on, you know, which book you're reading. I don't have a problem with problem novels. I think that they exist because people buy them, and I think the writers are trying their best to get something across. And Janice has got something.
Oh no! I was just thinking, I had a very interesting experience recently where I was out at the schools. Our librarians go out to the elementary schools and talk about books, and I had I did some book talks, and hands down, in class after class, the kids gravitated towards the books that were funny, that were mysteries, and it was. There was almost like silence for the books that were, you know, that fell into that problem category or that were frightening or that were scary. And that was really a lesson to me. So I think kids want to laugh. They're human. They want to laugh. They want some balance. And that could be the reason why we're seeing so much fantasy right now, that maybe there's a sea change going on. But I was struck by what I learned from those students. You know?
Well, and that's it, hearing that doesn't really surprise me in a way. I think about myself, and I do an awful lot of reading, and mostly for work, I read nonfiction. But I also like to read for recreation. But there, you know, I'd say don't give me something that has no redeeming social value whatsoever. You know, I want a good story. I want a ripping yarn. And I do like to read mysteries and science fiction and historical fiction and other sorts of things. I said, you know, just tell me something that doesn't have anything to do with my life at all. Something that really gives me an opportunity for an escape. Sure. That's great. Don't give me reality. I got enough reality in my life. So, you know, maybe we shouldn't be surprised that kids would be the same way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, we do have time for some more. Are there some more titles you want to toss out? We have about, 5-6 minutes.
Well, it was interesting because Stephanie was talking about the series that are popular. I know that she has some favorite authors have come out with some new books this year that we probably want to tell them about.
One is Amelia Bedelia, which has been a fan, which has been one that everyone's loved for years and years. They have everything from easy readers to picture books. And there's a new easy reader out called Amelia Bedelia Rocket Scientist. And this is where she helps out at the science fair. So if you know anything about Amelia Bedelia, you can imagine what kinds of problems she gets into at the science fair. Another series that's been very popular is the Judy Moody series. There's a new one out called Judy Moody, MD, The Doctor Is In. That's by Megan McDonald. And she's also come out with another series related to that. And this is Judy's younger brother, and his name's Stink, the incredible shrinking kid. And these are both for younger readers, first and second grade readers. So there's a couple other ones. Brian Jakes is also very popular with the Red Wall series. That's for a little bit older students. The most recent one of that is the Hyrulean book, and of course the Harry Potter book that came out this year. And we mentioned the series of Unfortunate Events, the most recent, the Penultimate Peril, which I believe is number 12 in that series. So.
And those poetry fans who've liked Denitra Brown by Nikki Grimes, she also has a new one out, Denitra Brown, Class Clown. So that's something you could head for. A very lovely picture book with a grandmother is My Nana and Me by Irene Smalls. Again, just a lovely, loving experience between a grandmother and her grandchild. And a very nice one, I think, to put in someone's stocking.
If you have some, maybe... boys who you're not sure like to read, there's a good book that's called Guys Write for Guys Read, and that's a website. They actually have a website called Guys Read, and this book is just very, very short. The people who use the website voted, and so there are authors like Lloyd Alexander, Stephen King, Gary Paulsen have all contributed either short stories, anecdotes from their own childhood, pictures, and so this was put together in a book called Guys Write for Guys Read. And there's an Alex Rider series by Anthony Horowitz, which is very popular. It's a boy, James Bond. That one would probably be good for middle school students. There is a lot of violence in it. Alex Rider is the hero in the series, and he has adventures where he's usually saving the world.
For younger boys, it would be the Shashka Time Warp Trio. There's a new Time Warp Trio book. Mm-hmm. Forget the name of this one.
I Can't See.
Right. Very popular series.
Civil War.
If you have a boy who doesn't like to read, chances are that's one that will hook them.
And he's the editor of the Guys Write for Guys Read. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's actually an issue right now, the fact that so many boys are not reading, and what can we do to catch young male
and
readers?
And is that, again, going back to the thing we were talking about a little bit before, is that you've got to find the right book, that if you can find the right book, then you should...
Absolutely.
You should get the results that you would hope for.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think for boys, nonfiction, true stories, some of the great fantasy that Betsy has mentioned.
Aragon and Eldest.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Those would be great
Cannot
gifts.
Keep them on the shelf.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It's funny. Does it still seem to be the case that girls are willing to read stories that are where you have a lot of male characters, but that boys don't? They're not going to read stories where the girls are the main characters?
I think the research has always said that. I'm not sure in my real experience with real kids I necessarily find that. I mean, if I can talk to them face-to-face and tell them something compelling about that book, sometimes I can get them to walk out the door with it. But generally speaking, boys seem to want boys with books with male characters.
Hmm. So we're almost at the point we have to finish. Any last sort of – and I will say once again – if you're looking for suggestions for books, go to the library and talk with the librarians. They will be happy to help you we did mention that their Champaign Public Library has a whole page here on their website of recommendations for good books for gifts. Mm-hmm. So we have set up a link from our website to theirs. You can mm-hmm. go there. There are particular kind of publications like the one that comes here out of the University of Illinois, the Bulletin.
Right.
Bulletin of the Center
for the Children's, for Study, of Children's.
Study of Children's Books,
right.
Which is pretty much for teachers and librarians. But parents who are looking for book suggestions can also look at that because
sure.
it comes out, I don't know if it comes out every month or almost every month, and they review yeah. new
right.
books there.
And we should probably say both libraries, Urbana Free Library as well as the Champaign Public Library, we're lucky to live in a community with strong bookstores, strong libraries. Go to those places, and you're going to find people who are very eager to help you. I'm very pleased with the book reading clubs that we'll be having coming up this spring for both kids and adults at the Champaign Public Library. So if you're a book lover or you have a child who's really interested in reading, find out about some of those reading clubs and
yeah.
join them.
Young adults, too.
Young
teens
adults, too. Right.
So you have the kind of thing. Now book groups are becoming popular
yeah, we've
for
got
grown-ups.
A great
you
mother,
have them
we've got
for
a great
kids,
mother-daughter discussion group that's been really popular. Wonderful reading clubs this spring. I'm very excited about all of them. We have a reading club to fit every taste.
Okay. So, and again, that's the kind of thing you can go down to the library and mm-hmm. find out what's going on.
Absolutely.
Is that information on that on the website?
If it's not now, it will be soon, but I believe it is on there now. I think our spring programs are on there, but if not, they will be shortly. Always give us a call. It's not a problem.
All right. Read. It's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Go to the library. Go get books.
Yeah,
it's an amazing concept. You go down there, you see, and they have books, many good books, and you take the book home with you, and you read it, and after you're done with that, you take it back, and then you go back, and you get more.
Oh, absolutely.
It is an amazing concept.
Keep
and
going.
Is there a charge, ladies and gentlemen? No. No,
it's
there is no charge.
We're liking it. Yeah.
You've paid for it already, so use the library. Thank you very much
you.
For
Thank
being
you.
Here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Our guests, Janice Harrington, Stephanie Edwards, and Betsy Sue, they're all from the Champaign Public Library. So no matter where you live, go down to the library. Bug the librarians. Talk to them about books. They like it very much.
Okay.
Was there anything else you wanted to add?
Well, the Monarch Endeavor is this wonderful thing that we have now. Look on our website because we have a letter from Laura Bush and we have a letter from the governor's wife. And basically, we're asking people to read folktales. We're finding that kids are not reading the fables, the folklore, those old legends. Read those books. You make a butterfly based on the book that you read. And we're collecting 5,000 of those. We're going to display them at the state library mm-hmm. and at the International Storytelling Center in Jonesboro, Tennessee. And go to the website, Laura
cool.
Bush's letter and stuff.
Well, that's
there.
Probably also an area where now there are a lot of really good collections.
Absolutely.
Folk tales, traditional
beautiful
folk stories
books.
From various cultures, parts of the world.
These ancient stories that have wisdom in them that touch our heart, touch our lives, that have meaning. If you're looking for those sorts of experiences for kids, you're going to find them in those books.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Programming here on WILL, made possible in part by Strawberry Fields on West Springfield Avenue in downtown Urbana. Strawberry Fields provides a wide assortment of natural foods, vitamins, bulk herbs, fresh breads, and produce. The Strawberry Fields Cafe, looking out on Springfield Avenue, features expanded seating for the deli and the coffee bar. And that's it for us. We want you to stay tuned, though. Much more coming up as part of the Afternoon Magazine. The host of the show is Celeste Quinn.
Thank you, David. Coming up today in the 1 o'clock hour of the program, we'll talk about computers with science and technology reporter for the News Gazette, Greg Klein. Greg joins us at 1:06 Central Time this afternoon. Now let's take a look at what's happening on the Chicago Board of Trade. Before we get to the CBOT, though, we're going to make a stop in Kansas City. Kansas March Wheat is